So Pentecost, here we are. It's come rather quickly in some ways. I think Pentecost is a feast that we often overlook. We think of Christmas and we think of Easter as these great feasts of Christianity, feasts where we celebrate in a big way. And then Pentecost comes and it's like one day and all of a sudden it's over with. So we don't always remember how important this feast is. History can attest to the fact that something unexplainable happened in the backwater province of Judea about 33 AD. A rabble of mostly uneducated Hebrews, led by 11 men of mixed background who had followed this Jesus of Nazareth, took to the streets and began to speak a message of hope. A message that was so different and yet had been foretold. This was no mere legend, it was not an invented story. This had been witnessed by these people. Something which changed their lives forever and which truly changed the whole world. Now, this was not the first time that someone had tried to begin a new movement or a new religion. However, the legacy of time reveals the truth of the supernatural quality of the event of Pentecost. This was an altogether different kind of event from what began other world religions. But what made this movement so interesting, this thing that came to be called Christianity, and it was different, is that by rights it really shouldn't have existed. It shouldn't have come about. It should never have happened. This group had no military power. They had no ability to conquer lands. They had no fortress, no territories of their own. From the beginning, there were no sages or learned leaders or charismatic leaders which led it. Its founder had died, been crucified, and was claimed to have been risen. Now, this was only seen by the disciples and apostles who were close to him. So other people didn't see this, and yet the message of Christianity spread. Slowly at first, mostly in places far from power. In fact, almost all the early leaders of the church were executed in various ways by the Roman state. The first 300 years of the Christian faith are marked by persecution after persecution. We see that people who live this faith were persecuted for their faith, often going to their deaths. So attempts were made to wipe this out, to make it a fraud, to show that it had no power. And yet, it grew. Why? Why did this movement succeed? One that should never have started. How did it grow? Because, you know, it defies reason when you look at it. What happened? What brought this about? What can we point to say that this is why it happened? Pentecost is the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit descending upon the church, upon the apostles and the disciples who were gathered in Jerusalem. The feast of Pentecost was a Jewish feast. So it was a time when they would come to Jerusalem to give thanks for the harvest or the first fruits. And that's why there were so many people gathered there from all over the empire. The Holy Spirit descends upon this small group who were hiding in fear. They had been living in fear and were afraid to go out. They had been told to wait for the Holy Spirit, although they didn't really understand, I don't think, what was going to happen or what was entailed in this receiving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had spoken about the advocate coming, the counselor, the person of the Holy Spirit, comes down to form this group, comes down in tongues of fire with the sound of a great rushing wind. One can really only use these otherworldly ways to describe the supernatural event. The Spirit came to instill a boldness and a sense of purpose to the followers of Jesus. And the result was that they immediately go out and begin teaching and proclaiming Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, risen from the dead. A message that is utterly unbelievable. Someone rose from the dead. But because they knew it was true, they spoke it with a certain conviction that made the people listen. And it wasn't merely the style of the boldness of their delivery that brought people to listen. It was the power of the Holy Spirit itself who was manifesting himself in these followers of Jesus. Remember Jesus' words before he ascended. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The power of God resides in the church, in the members of the church, the body of Christ, the faithful who follow him. Those who continue to carry out this mission of work for the church are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are needed to fulfill the mission of God's plan. What is the work that God wants us to accomplish? What is the work of the church? What is the missionary mandate which the Spirit keeps prompting the church to return to again and again over the centuries? How do we answer these questions? Why does the church exist? Surely, even after the descent of the Holy Spirit, there were certain challenges that faced the community. The scriptures of the New Testament clearly reveal that while the early church certainly faced trials from the outside, the more difficult ones have always come from the inside, from inside the church herself. The letters of St. Paul, the other epistles of Peter, James, John, and Jude all show that there has always been the human aspect in the church. Humanity is good, but easily stumbles into self-centeredness, selfish ways of living, pettiness, infighting, jealousy, errors, and at times downright craziness. These traits have all manifested themselves over the centuries within the church. But through it all, the Holy Spirit continues to work. He continues to enliven the church, to do the work of sharing the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, to invite people into a way of life that recognizes every good and beautiful thing in this imperfect world, and at the same time points and hopes for something greater to come, life in Christ, the eternal life in the kingdom of God. As the church has grown and amassed members and privileges and rights, property, and even at times worldly power, she has had to continue to adjust to the current needs. But the mission is always the same, bringing souls to Christ. Sometimes we treat our church membership as a business card to flash at the right moment. Sometimes it's merely a club by which we get to know people. Not that any of these things are intrinsically disconnected from what the church really is, but if any of these things are the measure of our membership, we are missing what the point is, what the church is truly about. Over the centuries, the church has often been used by groups or individuals to try to attain their own agendas or their own ends. I wish we could be awake to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What if we were truly given over to what God wanted us to follow him in, how he wanted us to live out our faith? At times, we can get caught up in the ideas of grandeur and majesty. I think often living our faith is very simple, small things done well. But I would rather have someone think on too large of a scale than to be content with mediocrity. Now I speak these words to myself as much as to you all. I hope you know that. I used to play baseball when I was younger, and it was a fun game, although it's kind of boring to watch. It's fun to play. And one of the things you had to do is be ready, right? So if you're fielding, you got to be on your toes. If you're running the bases, you got to be ready. You got to be looking for the right moment. You got to be ready to move. One of my favorite things to do in baseball was to steal bases. That was a lot of fun. But to do that, you have to pay attention to the cues. You got to know what you're looking for. You got to be kind of learn when's the right moment to go. Otherwise, you get thrown out, right? So it's in the same way when we live our faith, and especially when we're trying to evangelize or share our faith with other people, we have to look for those cues. We have to be attentive. What is the Holy Spirit asking me to do in this moment, in this relationship? Am I supposed to say something? Am I merely supposed to do something? Is it a moment where I just pray for them and I don't say anything? We have to be attentive to the cues of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get thrown out, right? We make a mistake, we don't do a very good job, but we learn, hopefully, from those mistakes. And we keep asking the Holy Spirit to inspire us and guide us in how to share the gift of our faith. Today, as we once again recall the fact that we have access to the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit, and we participate in the life of God who has chosen us to live our faith and to share our faith. So I want to challenge each one of us to wake up to that reality. God is calling you to live with a purpose, to take part in the missionary effort of the church. We can easily sit back on our haunches and live a comfortable life, one that is safe and focused on our own plans. But I think God is challenging us instead. He's asking us to put ourselves at His disposal. What are you doing with your life? How are you acting upon the mandate which the Holy Spirit has laid upon you?